You're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to pursue sound doctrine, to discern truth and error, and to become faithful disciples of Christ, because life and truth matter. For more information, to order resources or donate, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. Now, here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We'll go to your calls. First up is Joseph, listening in Baldwin, Missouri. Hi, Joseph.
Hi. I've been wondering, do you eat meat in heaven? Because I really love chicken, and since killing things wasn't the way God created it, then would we still be able to eat chicken in heaven?
Well, no, but what you will be able to consume or experience in heaven far eludes our grasp, which is to say that your experience of the greatest thing you can imagine on earth will be enhanced a trillion times when you get to heaven. In heaven, you're not going to have death. This is one of the things that we see in Scripture, that there is no animal death. There is no evil, and therefore we're going to experience even the greatest delights, like food delights and so forth, in a different way. We don't know exactly how that's going to work, because we're going to be the same, Joseph, physically, but we're going to be different organizationally. And the way you can see this in practical reality is, think of a caterpillar. The caterpillar is, in essence, an eating machine. Then the caterpillar spins a chrysalis, and that chrysalis is very much like a casket. And what happens is the caterpillar dissolves in the casket, and then out of the dissolving of its parts comes this brand new creature. And this creature can do what the caterpillar could never imagine doing. It can fly, for example. It can draw nectar out of flowers. It's a wholly different creature, but it comes from the same parts. And in our resurrection, we're going to be very much like that. We're going to be the same physically, but different organizationally. So we don't know exactly what that means. We don't know exactly how we're going to be constituted, but we know that what will be when you are the perfect you and I'm the perfect me is glorious. So anything you can imagine, if you love chicken, well, it's going to be a million times better than eating chicken.
That's good.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks for your call, Joseph.
You're welcome. Thanks for answering my question.
You got it, Joseph. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Thomas, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Hi, Thomas.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call. Thanks for your ministry. Appreciate you a lot. And I have a two-part question regarding the Lord Jesus Christ. And the question has been bothering me a little bit since yesterday when I was reading Hebrews 1, where the scriptures speak of the exaltation of Christ. And I know that the quote is from the Psalms. And I'd like to read what I read from Hebrews 1, if that's okay.
Sure.
Hebrews 1, 3-5. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. And so he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my son, today I have become your father"? Or again, "I will be his father, and he shall be my son"? And I'm having some measure of trouble reconciling these verses with the verses that I'm thinking of, specifically from John, where Jesus is spoken of as being the eternal Word, the one who came from the Father and was returning to the Father. And my question is this. Wasn't Jesus eternally begotten of the Father and thus always his Son? And so why did the Father say to the Son, "You are my Son, today I've begotten you"?
Yeah.
"And I will be his Father, and he shall be my Son"? And I have a follow-up question. I'll let you answer the question.
Sure.
I have a follow-up question.
Yeah, well, actually, you know, in comparing Scripture with Scripture, Paul actually deals with this in the book of Acts. And what he does is he equates the idea of begetting with the idea of resurrection. So this is in the sense of begotten, not made, and does have in a very substantive way in view relationships within the Godhead. But Paul himself in the book of Acts says, "We tell you the good news. What God promised our fathers, he has fulfilled for us, their children, by raising up Jesus." And then as evidence, he says, as it is written in the second Psalm, "You are my son, today I become your father." So again, he's equating the idea of begottenness with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The fact that God raised him from the dead, never to decay, is stated in these words, says Paul, "I will give you the holy and sure blessings promised to David." So it is stated elsewhere, "You will not let your Holy One see decay." So Paul makes the argument of begottenness here having to do with the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Okay. And my follow-up question, if it was after the resurrection and ascension of Christ that the Father said this to him, wouldn't that give some credence to what Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons say about Christ, that he was an exalted angel who assisted God in creation and then after his earthly ministry was adopted as the Father's Son in his ascension, rather than what Orthodox theologians have always said, that he's the eternal Son of God? You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. But again, for the very argument I just gave you, the answer would be no. It doesn't give any warrant for it whatsoever. But there's more to the argument than that. First of all, you realize that this has to do with relationships within the Godhead, has to do with the resurrection. And the Bible explicitly tells us that Jesus Christ is before all things, that he created the angels, that he created everything that has been created. And the Jehovah's Witnesses, recognizing the power of that statement, Colossians chapter 1, starting at verse 15, I actually have to insert the word "other" four times in the text to have Jesus Christ before all other things as opposed to before all things. So, yeah, I mean, the Bible makes clear in a lot of different ways that Jesus is the creator of all things, number one, even angels. Number two, that Jesus Christ will receive worship, whereas angels never will. For example, in the book of Revelation, when John bows down to worship at the feet of an angel who's showing him the vision, the angel says, "Do not do that." He will not receive worship because worship is something that only God is due.
Right, absolutely. And he's spoken of as the Lamb of God, and worshiped as the Lamb of God.
Amen.
He's the way to sin in the world. Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you for your answer, Hank. Thank you for your time, brother.
You got it. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Brenda next in Overland Park, Kansas. Hi, Brenda.
Hey, Hank. Thank you so much for taking my call. And I, like others, I appreciate your ministry of amongst the noise of the culture.
Thanks.
I have a daughter who attends a small Christian school in Michigan, and she has had a few friends share their YWAM youth with the mission experience. My question is, what is the most attractive element that the YWAM revivalist events offer to nominal or young believers? And number two, do they offer solid teaching?
Well, the first thing is it's attractive because it gives the youth a sense of mission. It allows youth to see that there's a big world out there and there's a great commission that we have been given. And I think that's intoxicating and it's wonderful. The caution that I have with respect to youth with a mission is that it sometimes offers materials that are a bit aberrant. In some cases, wholly aberrant. So you have to use a lot of discernment when you look at what's being offered in terms of resources through the mission. And the mission being multifaceted and large and a lot of different places have different leaders, and the leaders oftentimes have different perspectives, and some of those perspectives are not wholly consistent with essential Christian doctrine. And I think for that reason, you just have to exercise discernment. But on the whole, I think that there's a lot of good within that particular mission.
I think as older people looking at that generation, though, we see kids that, you know, they are excited about that call, but they're also willing to wipe away all of their responsibility of student loans and finishing, you know, maybe what they're called to do and then go out on a mission. But there's such an earnest, emergency type stop, no delay call from the mission that my daughter is struggling with some of these kids that are willing to drop everything and go, where, you know, the disciples did that very well. But, you know, she's saying, Mom, there's lots of, you know, things that have to be done before they can go do that, it seems like. So she's just trying to be a supportive friend, but at the same time, you know, offer some truth of, do you think one guy who heard God speak to him to say stop and no delay, that he's a prophetic, you know, deliverer to this group of 250?
And I think that's a problem. You know, that whole prophetic notion, which is being communicated by people like C. Peter Wagner and the like, wholly problematic, and we've written about that in various places. But what I can best do for you at this point, we have a position paper we can send out to you. If you hang on, I'll get a copy out to you.
Great. Thank you. And thank you for caring about the younger generation. I've heard other talks where you are passionately, you know, warning us of people who are steering them astray. And I just hope all of us who are in our 50s and 60s stay there for that generation. So thank you so much, Hank.
Got it, Brenda. Thank you so much for your call and for your kind words. We'll be right back with more answers in just a few moments.
Every Bible Answer Man broadcast, such as the one you're listening to right now, is made possible through the financial support of friends like you. Each month, we depend entirely on God's provision through His people to bring you more of the broadcast, podcast, and other resources you rely on. If you want a sound proclamation and defense of the gospel of Jesus Christ to continue to be heard through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Call 888-7000-CRI and stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. We'll return shortly with more from Hank Hanegraaff.
If you thought the pandemic was scary, it may actually pale in comparison to today's pandemensia. We're talking about wokeism and its growing legions of followers who have defiantly and dangerously declared their independence from reality. That's right. For those infected by the woke virus, anytime their ideology encounters reality, ideology wins. To help halt the advance of this deadly social and mental disease, you'll want a copy of the special edition of the Christian Research Journal. In it, you'll feast on penetrating analyses and criticisms of one of the most dangerous ideologies in modern history, all written to help you grasp just how deranged this tyrannical movement actually is. To receive your copy, visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI.
A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library.
To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. Being asleep at the wheel is dangerous. In fact, it can be downright deadly. That should be a wake-up call to Christians who are dangerously asleep at the wheel when it comes to wokeism. It's a deadly ideology that permits no discussion or debate. Simply obey or else. Make no mistake, people who are tolerant of such madness and incivility aren't being gracious. They are being dangerously and perhaps fatally naive. So grave are the threats of wokeism to civilization as we have known it that we have dedicated an entire special edition of the Christian Research Journal to analyzing this now rampant social and mental disease. To receive your copy of the special woke edition of the Christian Research Journal, visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. And now, let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Back to the phone lines. Let's talk next to Kathy in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Hank. I love listening to you. I learn a lot.
Well, thank you.
My question is I have an 11-year-old boy that is born-again Christian, not ashamed of it at all. At school, he wears his little necklace that says Jesus just to see if his friends will say something to him so he can talk to him. Well, one thing that he's been real upset about is, the evolution that they kind of throw in here and there, and then, on certain days just hit him full in the face with it. And he was trying to tell one of his friends that, hey, if evolution was true, then why aren't you evolving into something else besides a human? And the teacher got on to him and told him that he would have to do that after school. And so he tried to talk to the teacher about it, and the teacher said, well, we're not going to talk about that kind of thing here. And I talked to the principal. They said that it was fine as long as it was on his break or after school. But, he was telling the little boy, it's simply that evolution never happened. And that wasn't a real good answer. He didn't feel like that was a good answer for the kid. It didn't happen because, proved, and we've said that it didn't happen. So I kind of wanted to get something from you about how he can, he's trying to witness, bless his heart, when he can, and he stands up, and if they're talking about evolution, a lot of times he'll go sit in the hall. And anyway, I just don't know really how to instruct him on what to say about it. His big thing is that, Mama was, if evolution was not, he knows it's not, how did it just stop all of a sudden? And he doesn't really know how to explain that to the other friends of his or teacher, when we're trying to talk to him about it.
Yeah, well, of course, the evolutionist doesn't think that it stops all of a sudden. So apes evolve into human beings, and eventually human beings evolve into something else. So the evolutionary process continues on in the present. And so we're going to accelerate into some other kind of a being at some point in time, according to the evolutionary scheme of things. But I'm reminded of the irony that we're supposed to have free speech, and yet your son cannot exercise his right to free speech. Now, I think it's important for us to exercise that right, but do it with gentleness and with respect, that we do seize the opportunities to ask the right questions. We read something in the newspaper. The newspapers suggest that pigs and humans share a common ancestor. Well, let's look at the details. The devil's in the details, and we find out that this simply is an unreasonable tenet. If you can communicate that, and believe me, kids can do that effectively. I have 12 kids myself. Kids can learn to do that effectively. In fact, one of the reasons I wrote the Creation Answer book is so that kids can learn how to communicate this kind of thing with power and passion in a reasoned way, not just because my parents told me it's not true, but I really understand that it is untenable in an age of scientific enlightenment to suppose that nothing can create everything. There's another thing that I would do, and this is something I was thinking about as you're asking your question. There is a product that we have. You can get it at equip.org. It's called The Privileged Planet. I think if a child watches The Privileged Planet, it will inoculate them against the arguments used by evolutionists with respect to the evolutionary paradigm in general, because much of what we know today in terms of scientific discovery is a direct result of this being a privileged, i.e. a very unique planet in very unique circumstances. That DVD alone is one of those powerful things that I've ever watched along with my children in terms of defeating the whole notion of the evolutionary presupposition.
Okay, well, that's great. I wrote that down, and we will definitely get that and watch it with him and see what we could do to help him. And I think that kind of hit the nail on the head when you said that to give him the empowerment to know that he believes it himself, which he does believe that, but it's because mom's taught him that, and dad's taught him that. But it's not, he's asking the questions now as to, okay, this kid said this to me, so what do I say back to them and why? And, you know, he's a really smart kid and, been in the same school since kindergarten, and, you know, he just goes about and anytime there's any type of thing with the principal, they call me in and I tell him, hey, you know, he has the right to do that. And actually a teacher last year let him come up and wrote, they had a thing on evolution and he did a paper on creation and got to read it in front of the class. So, you know, he's tender heart and easy going and they tend to listen to him. But, I guess, you know, this year the science teachers it's kind of nice to hear him, you know, talking about what he tells at school and how he counters that. But I think he's gotten into, this is as far as I know, and I need to learn more. So I really appreciate the name for this movie, because we will definitely get that.
Okay, and then also, let me mention this. I know you are justifiably proud of your son, but one thing I would tell him is that rather than going into the hall when evolution is being taught, he should instead learn all he can about the theory so that he can rightly represent the theory to begin with and then rightly refute the theory. So we have nothing to fear from the evolutionary paradigm. The reason I give you that suggestion is I grew up in much the same situation. I was taught that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. When I went to class, I heard that that wasn't exactly right, that nothing produced everything, that life came from non-life, and that the life that came from non-life produced morals and ethics. And it turned out, after a while, I wasn't able to get good answers from my Christian friends for the contentions made by the evolutionists. After a while, I began thinking, Christians don't really have good answers. Maybe it's Christianity that's found wanting and not the evolutionary paradigm. And as a result of that, for many years, I dispensed with the notion of a creator God and bought into evolution instead. So it's a very dangerous time for children. At first, they're very convinced of their position, but after a while, they think, wow, the weight of the world is against me. And if they don't really understand the theory and all of its liabilities, then they can very easily, later on when they go to university, be robbed of their faith. So I think it's really important to recognize he has nothing to fear, that all the evidence is on our side of the equation. That's why, again, I wrote the Creation Answer book. It's why we feature these DVDs that I was talking about, like The Privileged Planet, Darwin's Dilemma. It's also a great DVD. Unlocking the Mysteries of Life, another great DVD. You can find them all at equip.org.
Okay. Well, I really appreciate that. And, you know, one thing I never thought of, you know, I was always taught by my parents, and I've taught my children to turn from evil. You know, we don't watch movies that, you know, that have evil. You know, I don't want to invite them to my home and, you know, equip him with that. And that's contradicting everything that I've ever done. And, but it makes sense. And I think he would probably be able to.
Well, you don't want to gratuitously expose him to evil. I think you're very wise not to. It would be a mistake to gratuitously, let's say, show him, let's say, a pornography film in order to tell him how bad pornography is. I mean, that would not be a sensible thing for any mother or any parent to do. But to understand very well what's being taught so that you can refute it is a completely different proposition.
Yeah, because I don't even understand what's being taught, because I went to private Christian school, you know, all through my school years. And, you know, so we had Bible class for, you know, for God's sake. We never mentioned evolution. And I know nothing about it. So, you know, maybe I can learn with him, and we will definitely be visiting your equip.org and getting some of that material to, you know, maybe we could do that for Bible studies or something and, you know, make a little different. But I sure appreciate your all your answers, and we listen to you all the time, and keep up the good work.
And say hi to your son for me.
I sure will.
God bless you.
Thank you.
We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Our contact information as we sign off via the mail is Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, on the World Wide Web, again, equip.org, and via the phone, 888-7000, and the letter is CRI out of here for today. We'll see you next time with more of the show.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. To learn more about Hank or the Christian Research Institute, just go to equip.org. Equip.org is a fountain of information and resources designed to help you defend the faith and grow in your knowledge of the truth. You can also stream the broadcast live or download archived broadcast. To talk with a resource consultant by phone, call 888-7000-CRI, or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
If you're not horrified, you should be, because the relentless assaults of wokeism on sanity and common sense have now reached a fevered pitch. In fact, some astute observers see more than deranged ideologies at work. It's as though the gates of hell have been opened. And alarmingly, the speed of this mindless rush to chaos and potential civilizational collapse is gaining momentum daily. That means Christians need to wake up, and wake up fast. One of the best alarm clocks is the special Woke edition of the Christian Research Journal. It contains sobering articles with penetrating analyses of a social disease that is reaching a flashpoint. To receive your copy of this special edition of the Christian Research Journal, visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI.